Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Not so much a dark horse as a little pony. What's the Welsh for easy? Welcome to the Football Ramble, sponsored by Betway. It's Thursday the 17th of June. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm the ghost of Turkey's dreams.
I'm not sure what's the pronunciation.
Welsh for easy, apparently.
Write in.
Welsh for easy.
Welsh friends.
Yeah.
Let us know how wrong we were.
And when you do write in, please acknowledge that we tried our best and it was an honest attempt.
It was an honest attempt. Yeah. And we looked it up and we just didn't, because it's written
Howth, maybe.
But with double Howth, D at the end, Howth, isn't it?
Maybe, yes, hard to say.
And also it's hard to know if it should have been two syllables or if we should have riffed it differently. Anyway.
Embrace the effort.
Embrace the effort, Wales. Too easy. 2-0.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
It was so good.
It felt like a knockout game.
Yes.
Somehow.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I suppose because it had become must win at that point, or it certainly you identify that game in the group as must win, Wales really, really approached it like that. I love as well that they absolutely bust in a gut for a second goal late on.
It's great stuff. Because Turkey almost quite literally stopped playing. So Wales were like, well, we could just keep it in the corner, but they're not going to come and try and get it off us. So what's the point? It was I was saying on the WhatsApp group, wasn't I, towards the end of the game, I was saying that I genuinely thought, because it was really hot yesterday, I had this fan on, so I couldn't hear the commentary that well. I thought the whistle had gone, I just not heard it. But Turkey just stopped.
It's rubbish.
In what was essentially supposed to be a home game for them. But, of course, the fans were so far away from the pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, they might as well have stayed in Turkey.
That setup in Baku is ridiculous.
So bad.
Absolutely ridiculous.
And what about the feed as well?
The feed?
You never knew.
The TV kept cutting out.
Oh, I'm
it?
With you, sorry.
Different commentators, different, all sorts going on.
Keep it lively. Although, to be honest, I'm not sure Robbie Savage's contribution of get it into the corner was that useful just as they then scored the second.
I don't know, though. I think if you're a Wales fan, you are probably, especially because Bales missed a penalty, Aaron Ramsey missed a couple of chances.
Your voice has gone funny since you fell in the canal.
Before you know it, I'll be on a rant. But yeah, you worry, don't you? That if it's a precarious scoreline like that, you do think get in the corner. But nope, Gareth Bale, a couple of times, just tried to run it into the goal because he saw it was there.
Yeah.
A year ago, Aaron Ramsey wouldn't have been playing in the Euros because he was injured. I mean, he was injured at the start of this season as well. Sorry, at the start of this year, calendar year as well, with the thigh. And he's had lots and lots of injuries. But I mean, I don't know how
I don't know about you, Jim. I miss seeing it. Two seasons it is now since he's not been in the Premier League. Yes. I miss watching him playing in the Premier League.
It must be
a sort of happy and sad experience to get a chance to watch him again.
Well, it's just nice to see him do well. And also it's nice to see him and Gareth Bale.
It's like after a break.
It's like after a breakup. Yeah, yeah, it's just, no, I'm happy for him. I'm glad he's engaged.
Yeah. But him and Bale really, really turned up yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
They are a cut above. You know, Turkey don't have equivalents of that, do they? And I think that's where the golf in quality showed.
It's baffling
how... The golf in quality.
That's
what I thought you said.
It's fair enough. I thought it was all right. I thought it was worthy
it's
of mention.
Good pun.
It's mad how bad Turkey have been. I mean, given how, first of all, given how much Andy Brassel tipped him up, and how much I disagree with him at the time. I didn't really.
I remember, you know, all of the, you know, the pre-tournament write-ups were talking about how good Turkey had been in qualifying.
They didn't concede a goal in open play in the whole qualifying.
That's insane.
Did you watch it last night?
Yeah, it's they were saving insane. Them up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They're completely wrong.
Yeah. And what we're seeing is the what's really exciting for football fans, who everyone listening to this will be a football fan, of course. What's exciting for all of us is that what we're seeing now, I think, is the most underrated part of a tournament each time. Because what happens when you get into the knockout phase is you tend to get quite attritional stuff because people don't want, because there's so much at stake. Now, the start of the second round of games in the group stage, people need to start giving it some.
Come on. You have to be careful with the goal difference, don't you? I sort of thought in some of the first round of games that people were trying to close things down. I mean, unsuccessfully. Yeah.
We mentioned it with Hungary against Portugal.
With Hungary is what I was thinking.
Get out of that with a 1-0 defeat. It's not the end of the world. Yeah. You've played okay.
I think the opposite is true, though, isn't it? Wales sensed blood, or scented blood. And they saw that there was an opportunity to maybe get some more goals, which could in the long run be more important. So, it goes two ways.
Yeah.
The momentum shifts in this game were huge as well. When Bale missed that penalty, Turkey had a real moment, didn't they?
When Bale missed the penalty, after that, which was on, about 70 minutes, the rest of the game felt like stoppage time. It was so tense. Yeah. It was brilliant.
Yeah. And I think it's worth mentioning with Wales, if you look at the team that started that game, quite a lot of them have had like difficulties in their club, in their season for their club. So if you look at Ramsey, you mentioned he's had injuries and stuff, and you know, Kiefer Moore's had a hell of a journey to get where he's got to get to. Gareth Bale's obviously moved out on loan to another club because he's not being picked. Daniel James is hardly really featured in any meaningful way for United. Joe Rodon doesn't play regularly for Spurs. You know, Ben Davis doesn't play regularly for Spurs. So like, it's a mad thing how it shows you how good that camp must be, how much they enjoy playing together.
Doesn't it just look as though they're having the best time?
More than any team here, though, I think the team and the fans almost feel like a subculture. You know, this whole thing of Wales away being thing where it's like, it is like they go all over for the qualifiers and stuff like that as well. And like, they feel like a big, big family, like about, you know, 400 or 500 people all on holiday together. Yeah. And their away support, it just makes you want to be there with them. They are an absolute credit, and they are like the blueprint for what an international team supporter should be like.
What about England?
What about England? Well, I mean, genuinely, if you contrast them, it's depressing when you look at the worst elements of England. Of course, there are a lot of England fans that behave perfectly exemplarily. I would imagine, if that's a word.
Yeah. Hello. But hello. I was very well behaved.
Yeah, of course you were. Yeah, of course you were. Yeah. But that
change.
I've had conflicting reports around the availability of chamomile tea in the refectory area.
Heineken poured out of a can into a. Yeah, for me.
Yeah, nice.
That's the only option, I think.
Expecting your own personalised help.
I know.
Yeah. That sort of thing.
Bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
But he's got a name. It's Charlie.
but
genuinely, they look like such a together group that are all on this amazing journey. And it's so... I'm slightly jealous of it, you know?
Has Kiefer Moore ever ended a game without being bloodied in some way?
I doubt it.
It's never happened.
No.
It's never happened. Yesterday, he just inexplicably just got a boot into the face.
Oh, my God. That
got his nose,
awful,
the nose is bleeding.
Oh.
But it's like he lives
the
on it.
Flick into his...
But apparently he's a really sort of mild-mannered, polite
lovely
person.
I saw an interview with him. I think the BBC did something yesterday. And about his journey and his career. And they got all the people from his non-league career and his journey that he had through. And everyone just said, he's an amazing guy. I mean, a bit of a stitch-up. Everyone just said he was a complete prick. I'm sure he would have signed off on it. But I've no doubt...
Don't speak to them.
Yeah. Can I have a look at the list of contributors you got? That's what I'd be fucking saying. Yeah. But he also came across really, really nice. Like, as a proper, like, I know it's a cliche, but like a proper gentle giant, like really softly spoken and everything. But
speaking about the interviews as well... Sorry, Lee. Speaking about the interviews as well, did you guys catch the post-match? I mean, all of them just so delighted. Like Conor Roberts saying, that's the best moment of my career. Will probably never be matched. He's obviously not imagining they're going to go deep in the tournament. Bit of a worry there. Yeah. But Aaron Ramsey's little Welsh-Italian accent really put a smile on my face.
Why is it when Steve McLaren does it, all hell breaks loose? When Aaron Ramsey does it, it's strangely endearing.
I think there's one word for it, and I think it is... charm?
Maybe it is just a lot more charming.
Joey Barton did it as well, lest we forget.
He did.
That one's underrated in the canon.
Yeah. Charm.
Yeah. Again, yes, absolutely.
What we've learned from Barton doing it is just, if you do like 25 more horrific things, people aren't going to notice that one. Don't worry about it. But the reason Conor Roberts was so pleased is because he got his dinner money stolen against Switzerland for their goal. And so he was probably pleased to get... I don't want to take anything away from him because he's got the clincher there and it's a massive moment for him and he should be delighted with it, and I certainly would be. But he probably felt like he'd exorcised a demon or two there, which is fair, absolutely fair enough, you know. I wouldn't get too carried away with what Wales were able to achieve, just chiefly because I do genuinely... Aww. Well, look, someone's got to say it. I genuinely... We don't even have a saying that right. I genuinely think Turkey were just so, so disappointed. Yeah. I think the only one that can... For me, there's only probably three players that could really hold themselves up with any pride there. That's the goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. And normally the goalkeeper's left kind of hanging in these kind of performances anyway. I think Soyuncu acquitted himself when I thought Yilmaz was really game and really kind of honest up front.
Yeah.
Apart from the little slap he did, which wasn't honest, but at least he got a bit of fire in his belly.
Yeah. Bit of fun. Yeah. I do feel that, you know, again, with the chances they missed, and maybe I'm contradicting myself by again, bringing up them not bringing the ball into the corner, because we don't know if they would do that, you know, in a time where it was a bit more necessary. But there may be a little bit of naivety about Wales that could come back to bite them.
I cannot see, and I know we're going to come on to talk about Italy and Switzerland in a minute, and it's a weirdly kind of similar situation with them, but in terms of the games in isolation, I cannot see a team, again, allowing Bale the time to play those balls and Ramsey the time to make those runs. Yeah. I mean, the run that Ramsey made, fair enough, he's a good player and he's dynamic and he's good at doing that, and he has been his whole career. He shouldn't be doing it five times in a row. Someone should be saying, anyone should be saying,
have we seen this before?
Stop him doing that.
I'm getting a bit of a deja vu thing.
Yeah, 3 minutes ago. It was incredible.
Well, Bale created 5 clear-cut chances for Wales, which is the most of any player at the Euros since records began in 1980. So watching that was just fun for the neutral, or as we've outed ourselves, not the neutral, certainly, watching that game. But you talk about them creating all of those chances. They were just going at it. This was just full throttle football, basically, from Wales's perspective, I guess, because the idea is you're going to make one of those chances eventually, aren't you? And he just kept creating chance after chance, and they were just quicker.
Ramsey was able just to miss them.
Yeah, that was quite surprising, wasn't it?
And in my notes for the game at the start, I was like, this is going to come back to haunt them massively. Yeah. We can't get away with doing this.
But I mean,
they could, yeah.
It's I don't know, like, if there's anything that's going to kind of sharpen you, though, it's having those sighters, isn't it? And getting them out of the way. So the timing of that might be good. Like, I cannot wait for the game against Italy. Well, that's going to be a real test of Wales. And also, I think based on what we've seen, they're going to be the biggest test Italy have faced by some distance.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, let's get on to Italy, shall we? Italy 3, Switzerland 0 in the end. A couple from Locatelli and Ciro Immobile with the one just before the end of play. Italy, the first team to qualify for the knockouts. They hadn't scored 3 in a game at the Euros before. They've now just done it twice.
Absolute end of level boss vibes.
Yeah, massive.
Like the blokes, Mancini, Vialli, all the rest of them, with De Rossi,
Lombardo,
with the suits.
Yeah.
Like, they just mean business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's something in that, because the intimidation factor is high.
Yeah.
And one thing that I would say was really, really like almost like doom mongering for anyone who's got to play them is that the big moment for me was Chiellini going off.
Oh, yes. So think, early doors, 2023.
I think he went off because he pulled a hamstring celebrating a goal that VAR ruled out.
Oh, yeah. No.
Which, I mean, I don't know if that's true, but it looked like that to me. And if that was the case, that's a massive moment. But what happens is Acerbi comes in, slots straight in, and it's all fine again. Mm. And Switzerland, who I talked about on the show, I think on Friday, as, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, but for me, they're kind of, they're always there. They're ever present in tournaments, it seems. They always seem to kind of get their way through to the second round, be a bit boring, go out on penalties after a 0-0 or something. But they could not deal with any aspect of Italy in this game. And I consider Switzerland to be at least fairly obstinate, but they were not at all.
They weren't able to be, were they?
I just don't think they could deal with it. I don't think the selection from the manager helped them in midfield, because Xhaka's not capable at that level anymore, I don't think. And Shaqiri's not going to help you out there.
You're not jumping in?
Well, Xhaka can't deal with that, can he?
No, of course not. No. Well, I mean, the evidence is in front of you. He's on the scoreline.
I've watched him play, Kate, to be fair to you. I'm not just picking it out of the air. You're going to bleach your hair like Ivan Drago, and you're going to not be able to deal with another midfield like that.
Was he not trying to channel Phil Foden channeling Gazza?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, so it's kind of like once removed. Do you reckon? Well, it looks like the power diminishes with each generation.
Certainly does.
But they couldn't deal with him in midfield, and I don't think the selection helped them. Shaqiri's not that kind of player. He's not going to help you do that.
No.
It's no surprise to me that Locatelli, who is a brilliant player, but who doesn't seem to get forward that much and has been criticised in the past for not scoring enough goals, all of a sudden, ostensibly, Shaqiri's up against him and he just runs the show.
It's the first brace of his career, isn't it?
There we go. So I thought they were very, very dominant in midfield, but I don't think Xhaka, who, by the way, I think is really passionate about playing for Switzerland and is an honest pro, particularly when it comes to Switzerland. I'm not criticising him, I'm just saying he's up against a much better opponent on the night.
No, fair enough. And your point about watching him play Wales next, I think, will be really telling and exciting to see. Because this is the whole thing, you know, you're trying to judge the level of the sides and you see them play against batter Turkey in the case of Wales and do this against Switzerland, and you still don't quite know what you're dealing with.
It'd be interesting to see how Wales approach it. Obviously, I mean, they'll try and win the game, I'm sure. I think that's just Wales's MO, isn't it? But at the same time, if they go behind, surely there's going to be a case of, well, let's not get battered here because, you know, Switzerland could well batter Turkey, potentially, given how bad Turkey are and how their confidence will be in absolute tatters.
They need a 5-goal swing, though, don't they? I mean, I think Wales are certainly on the
probably okay for that. Probably fine.
Yeah, okay, all right.
If Wales come, I mean, we expect Wales to finish runner-up in Group A, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That
means they'll play the runner-up in Group B, which will be Russia, Finland or Denmark.
Okay.
So that's
not a bad setup.
They should be aiming on the quarterfinals then, if that's the case.
Not a bad setup at all.
But I thought again, just to mention what I mentioned with the Wales game, the midfield runs from Italy, which Switzerland couldn't deal with, were stunningly good. I mean, the engine on Locatelli was amazing. Over and over again, Switzerland found very, very difficult to deal with him in midfield. And the criticism going into the tournament from Italy, because obviously they famously just don't concede any goals, was just that, have they got this top-level striker? Because Immobile, as I mentioned yesterday, is kind of flattered to deceive a little bit. But he got his goal again. Nice finish. They just look full of confidence. And the players that come on look like they can make a contribution as well. So, yeah, I think if the chips fall as we expect them to, Italy, France in the semi-final could be a game for the ages.
Yeah.
But I think one of them, Kate, well, don't laugh, because one of them might have to get past England first.
So it won't happen then. No. I need to take something up with Marcus, actually, yesterday. I couldn't believe he just let you get away with sitting there predicting a 2-1 win Germany against England at some stage in this bloody tournament. I can't believe he just sit there in silence, letting you get away with that absolute disgrace. You should be you're a disgrace to your nation.
As the last 30 years, what happened to you, Kate?
Yeah.
you wanting it to not happen doesn't make it any less likely to happen.
Do you get hypnotised to forget all this stuff or something?
Yeah. Can we have his number?
Separately, Gianluigi Buffon has confirmed he's going to be returning to Parma 26 years after he began his career there.
It's amazing.
If you grew up on Gazzetta Football Italia and were someone who wanted to be feel like they were much cleverer than all the other football fans in your classroom, you will remember Buffon playing for Parma and how legendary that Parma side was. It's an amazing story. Mm. And it's an amazing story just chiefly because of how old he is.
Yeah. Well, also, they're in Serie B as well, and he had offers from, I think, Besiktas and somewhere else decent.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's like, no, he's going to go back and join the fight.
Imagine the... I mean, I've led to believe from James Horncastle, he's a great guy. Imagine that he imagine the contribution he can make to that squad. Just even if he's not playing.
Yes, yeah.
Just the all the wisdom and all the advice and all the leadership.
And he can use his hands.
Yeah, I know.
Where none of the other players can.
Speaking of that, have you seen? I don't think it's just Donnarumma wearing them. I think it might be an Adidas thing. Have you seen the goalkeeper gloves? They've got spikes on them.
No, I haven't seen that.
Go like halfway up the wrist, and they've got like not spikes.
Oh, I see what you mean.
As in like Legion of Doom wrestling spikes. They're soft, but they look like the back of like a gecko or something.
Yeah.
I think they're very visually arresting.
Lizard gloves.
Amazingly sticky, presumably.
Well, they're not wearing them. I don't think they're saving with the back of their hand. I wonder what the point of them was.
Maybe we'll start seeing that. It'll look like just
dismissing
catch,
the ball.
Catch it on the back of your hand. Yes,
dismissing it.
Slapping it away like it's a dueling glove.
I learned the new Predators have the same spikes. So it's like a branding thing. Oh, it doesn't even do anything.
It looks cool, though.
Oh, well.
It looks cool. It gives us content to talk about the show.
Oh, no, but you're all about substance, not style, Luke. So I wouldn't have
Again, there's a last 30 years never happened to you.
Before we get to a break, please do listen to today's episode of On the Continent. Dotton and Andy will be looking at some of the biggest teams in the Euros and how they've got on so far. They'll be joined by Lars Iverson, Nicky Bandini and David Cartledge. It's a full house. That's out this afternoon over on Football Ramble Presents. Subscribe in your podcast app and the episode will drop politely into your pod app later on in the day. All right, let's get to a break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Always believe in your soul.
I said, no, you're getting up there.
You got the power to know. Indestructible. Always believe it. Carlton, go.
Oh, you're getting up there. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, sponsored by Betway. It's time for Four to Score, Luke.
It is now time for Betway's Four to Score. The only thing that could improve the European Championships is the addition of Carlton Cole, and we've brought that to you on this show, so you're welcome, listeners. But it is time for Betway's Four to Score. Across the Euros this summer, there's £250,000 up for grabs across five rounds of Four to Score, and it is, of course, as ever, completely free to play. Just pick the first goal scorer in each of Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win £50,000 each round. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Today it's round two. We're having a go as ever. And game number one is England v Scotland. And Mason and Speller do vie for the biggest tub-thumping England fan. Mason's in the chair today. So game one, England v Scotland. Kate, you're up. Who have you gone for?
Ultimately, I've gone for Mason Mount.
Yeah, it took you a long time to decide this.
I've been getting a lot of grief for how long it took.
Yeah.
But I just think it's almost impossible to judge. I can imagine a scruffy little goal and someone just pokes it in.
I think it's a great selection.
Yeah.
I would be probably choosing him myself if it were me. But it isn't, it's you. So he doesn't score, it's on you. That's Friday night at 8 o'clock. We're all looking forward to that one. Game number two, Hungary v France, Saturday at 2 o'clock. Jim Campbell.
I have gone for Kylian Mbappe.
Never heard of him.
It was going to be him, Griezmann or Benzema. And I went for Mbappe because I think like he'll be really annoyed to have had that amazing goal chalked off, so he'll probably
in my mind,
get in there early.
He scored about 8 disallowed goals in the last game.
No, that's Timo Werner. You're thinking of
Kylian Mbappe then for game number two. Game number three is Portugal versus Germany, which is after the 2 o'clock game on Saturday. It's at 5 o'clock. And our selection for this game comes from our mate, Andy Brassel.
Hello, Ramblers. I'm really honoured, actually, to be asked to pick the fourth score from Portugal versus Germany, big one in Munich this weekend. It can only be one man. And, you know, Portugal didn't really create anything in the second half in Budapest, but he got a couple anyway. He's chasing that Ali Daei record. It's going to be Cristiano Ronaldo to make Germany pay for all the suffering they've put Portugal through in recent tournaments.
Thank you very much for that, Andy. So Cristiano Ronaldo there. Game number four is me. It's Spain v Poland, Saturday, 8 o'clock. God, what a day of games, by the way.
Mm.
That's just hit home to me. Hungary, France, Portugal, Germany, and Spain v Poland. I'm being a bit cheeky here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go for Robert Lewandowski because I think we might see the blueprint for how to play against Spain as provided by Sweden, which is basically just stand in one place and let them just get on with it. And they won't get on with it.
Let them knacker themselves out.
I think if Sweden had a Lewandowski, the story might be a little bit different because Sweden had a few chances themselves. So anyway, in summary, for Betway's four to score, Mason Mount, Kylian Mbappe, Cristiano Ronaldo and Robert Lewandowski. What a front four that would be. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. We'll be back for round number three next week.
Lovely stuff. Right, now it's time for some of these.
Love the game. Now hit subscribe. Please send us a note. We won't reply. Email show@footballramble.com. show@footballramble.com. We don't call it soccer.
No,
I don't.
big Tom Williams and the boat vibes about that one. Very, very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Who sent that one in?
A gentleman.
Sorry,
Stephen Spencer.
Sorry, I stitched you up there. Didn't
Thank
I?
You.
Didn't know. Steve Spencer.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah. I want to give him a shout out. That was
yeah,
all.
Yeah,
very,
yeah,
very
yeah.
good. So Jared Sharia has been in touch. Sorry if that's a mispronunciation of your name. I was watching the Wales v Turkey game, a great game from start to finish. However, when the camera pans towards the Turkish manager, I couldn't help but notice the trousers that he was wearing. Mm. It definitely matched with the jacket he was wearing, so it came as a set. What was odd about the trousers was that it didn't have buttons or a zipper, didn't get a good enough look, and was just tied by a piece of string around his waist. Now, is this something new in men's fashion that I've missed, or has it been there for a while and I just wasn't aware of it? Please shed some light. Thanks. Now, I don't know
the
why you're coming to us
to write
for
your
football fashion advice, but I don't
see
know.
It. I didn't. Did you see it?
I couldn't see it either. But I mean, I do often think that when people that work in fashion just see what they can get away with to see what we will start wearing. So if they did start doing just like really high-end string that you used as a belt.
Yeah, our people would
buy it. I'd have a go,
like
I think.
Yeah.
Pete would
that?
Definitely do it.
Is it? It's not Scientology, is it? That what's that thing that Madonna's into with the
Kabbalah.
Red string?
Yeah.
It's like 50 quid for a bit of red string.
Is it? I think this single-handedly explains the Turkish performance yesterday.
The string.
They've walked out the tunnel and they've gone, what's it? Why is he wearing that?
Is he living?
He's not making the effort.
Is he living on the bus?
Yeah, my granddad used to wear string around his trousers.
Yeah. Is that the impression you got?
No, to be honest, I never really thought about it. When you're a kid, like your granddad's, whatever, they obviously know what they're doing. They're older, aren't they?
So you mentioned this earlier, though, and he did have belts, didn't he?
Yeah.
He just preferred string?
Yeah, I think
he was in fashion, wasn't he, Luke?
Yeah, he was, yeah. You heard of, I can't even think of a fashion designer. Just name one.
Karl Lagerfeld?
Karl Lagerfeld was my granddad. Yeah, that's who it was. I've got a tweet here from a listener by the name of Yuri Geller.
I don't think he tweeted us, did he?
I've got a tweet here from a listener called Yuri Geller. No, Yuri Geller tweeted, and I saw it earlier, so I'm including it as part of the correspondence section, because that's how social media should work. Mm. He tweeted a picture of Mel Gibson as William Wallace, Jim.
Right.
Saying, I'm ready for Friday. Celebrations on my Lamb Island. I am summoning up the spirit of Robert the Bruce, whose spoon I have on my Cadillac, to amplify my powers. I asked a local Jaffa Scottish school who visited my museum just a few days ago to find me a kilt.
Because that's a completely normal way to find a kilt, isn't it? You just commission a local school to go and get you one.
Yeah, there's no kilt
Absolute
shops.
Absolute cretin.
Did you know that he lived? Do you know that he lives on an island called Lamb Island?
I do now. Yeah,
in the middle of the Firth of Forth.
Oh, is that really true?
He bought it in 2009.
I thought he was just naming his house that or something.
He bought it in 2009 because he thought it was a hiding place for ancient Egyptian treasure. But that's not manifested itself because 12 years have gone by and he's not said anything.
Not managed to bend any treasure at all.
Although, actually, if it was ancient Egyptian treasure and he found it and he told people, he'd have to... I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to take it if it's...
Half to you, half to the landowner.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. We've all
seen buy the island, though? Maybe that's his whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, maybe he hasn't.
How would it have got there?
I'd like to see him bend the fourth bridge.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like to see that.
Not anyone's on it, just to see. It'd be a spectacle, wouldn't it?
It would. I'd like to see him bend a single spoon without bending it with his hand.
Nice of Yuri to get in touch, though.
Yeah, nice good of him. Thanks for it. Yeah. And if, like Yuri, you want to get in touch with us, it's shirtfootballrabble.com or tweet us at footballrabble. Now, the third of the three games of yesterday was Finland against Russia. They lost 1-0. Finland, good to have. Thank God, by the way, for the 2 o'clock kickoff being restored.
Yeah, what would we do with that?
Oh, God. Goodness.
I just had to lay face down on the floor, try not to think.
That's your standard. You normally do that at one, don't you?
I was about to say, you just need to try not to think.
Finland players, of course, their first game after the horrible incident that they were part of on Sunday, they walked out onto the pitch with Get Well Christian shirts on, ultimately beaten by Russia from a lovely goal, lovely bit of skill.
Lovely goal.
From Alexei Marinchuk.
Barry Davis would have gone, lovely goal.
He would have, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that human battering ram alongside him,
Zuba.
Artem Zuba. It's just amazing to watch. It's amazing to watch because I don't mean to be disrespectful to Zuba because he's a great pro and he's had an amazing career, but it's just an anachronistic thing, isn't it, to see someone just going around marauding around, booting people.
Yeah, just bashing into people.
Because I think it's what I would probably have to be like if in some alternative universe I was a professional footballer. That's the footballer I would be, just kicking people.
Just use what you got. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. But I mean, he's not far off being their all-time top scorer. So, you know, he's got the goals to back up the brawn as well. But yeah, I was gutted for Finland when their early goal was disallowed. I mean, it was offside. This is the danger of VAR, isn't it?
You
kind of get annoyed
was.
At it when it's right.
Yeah.
But, oh God, it would have been such a great moment. They were busy, particularly in that first half as well. I really thought they were going to get something. It's a shame they didn't manage it.
Great. Little shout out for great quality VARing this tournament.
I think it's been excellent, isn't it? You barely notice it.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's possible to do it well.
I still hate it, but I understand what you mean. Mm. It's like the smoothest way of doing something I dislike. So I kind of respect that part of it. But we've got Denmark, Belgium today. And this group's a very interesting group. I don't suspect this will happen, partly because of what's gone on with Denmark, but also because it would be completely even-handed that Belgium are a much better team than Denmark.
Yeah.
But if Denmark were to win today, that group's absolutely poised. Everyone's on 3 points going into the final round of games. And then it gets really interesting because the final round of games, people are going to actually have to do stuff and they all play at the same time and all the rest of it.
It's just like the last day of the season.
It's great.
It's like the last day of the Premier League season. Yeah. A favourite chant of the, if you're looking for someone to back in, should that eventuality occur, a favourite chant of the Finnish fans is, Oh, Finland is a lovely land. We have sauna, booze and axes. Oh, Finland is a lovely land.
Yeah.
I mean, that is...
It's all you need.
But yeah, the tourist board are delighted with that.
Sooner,
that's done their job for a year.
Rank them in order. Saunas, booze and axes.
I was surprised about the axes thing.
I'm going to go...
That's kind of been thrown in there as a bit of a rogue.
Yeah.
I don't really have much need for an axe.
No.
Nice to have one.
So it's like they can have fun, they can take care of themselves and they can kill you.
Are the axes in the sauna?
Mm.
Yeah. It's hard to see in there.
Because you could really splinter
steamy,
it.
Steamy, really steamy. Yeah. The axes flying about.
You don't want to be doing that.
No, exactly. I like the way that... Because Finland, it was a really big derby game, right? So people who aren't familiar with that part of the world, which I'm not. I kind of overlook this game, but it was actually a really big deal. I listened to a Russian football expert on the radio, and she was saying, look, if Russia lose to Finland, this is an absolute disaster. This will be terrible for Russian football, like awful. So I think they had put a lot of stock in making sure they won here, and obviously they were able to, which is great for them. But it's a very, very poised group, and Finland can console themselves that they've got those three things that all you need for a happy life. So
yeah, can't get them on the pitch, though, the axes.
Technically speaking, you can get all three of those anywhere. Yeah. Really.
Oh no. It's like Iceland. You were mentioning Iceland yesterday. They always say that everything, if it's Icelandic ale or Icelandic fish or
Icelandic
whatever,
yogurt,
it's the best
lately.
Kind of Skier, itself. Yeah. I think they've done a good job on the branding.
They're big on the yogurt in Iceland. And they're big on, I'll tell you what is really good in Iceland. Not to make this into Luke's Iceland tales, Icelandic
Please.
Tales again, after Bill Clinton yesterday. the Icelandic water is so
delicious.
Nice that it tastes almost sweet.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that might probably be partly because we live in London and the water here is great.
That's true. When I went to Wales, I felt the same, to be honest.
Back on the Wales train.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing so well.
That's it. That's it. We're all supporting them. Look, not just so that you've mentioned the games tonight. It's Denmark, Belgium. It's Ukraine, North Macedonia. It's Netherlands v Austria. But also looking slightly further ahead to tomorrow.
Whenever you say look, it makes my mind you're saying Luke and it feels like I'm about to be told off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look at this, Luke. We nearly forgot Harry Maguire.
Never.
He's back in the frame.
Old Slabhead.
Not to start.
Captain Slabhead.
He says he's fit and available for Friday night's clash with Scotland. I'm fit. No, I feel good is what he said. That's a bit of a statement, isn't it?
That's what he said to that girl in that famous meme.
It's his wife, isn't it?
I don't know. I've never looked into it.
Or his girlfriend, whatever.
Yeah. Nice.
I'm back available. I've been training and I'm looking forward to it. As we all are, Harry Maguire. He might have to play through the pain barrier, he says. And insists he's not rushing back.
Yeah, well, he's,
sort of sounds like he is rushing back.
He said he's available for this game, isn't he? But the expectation is that he won't play until the third group game. He's not had an ankle injury before, so he said he doesn't really know.
Well, I also think, Jim, that, you know, we didn't mention this when we talked about Italy, but Italy have got this similar problem, right? So Locatelli comes in because Verratti's not fit.
Mm.
Verratti comes back to fitness.
Verratti.
Are they going to pick him or
yeah,
not?
Yeah, of course.
They don't know because it's a difficult decision. I think it's the same here because Tyrone Mings had a real coming-of-age performance against Croatia in the first game for England. There were question marks over him. I don't know if, you know, a lot of mainstream media were saying this, but a lot of people I spoke to weren't having Mings. They were saying they didn't think he was up to it. He showed that he was up to it. It was like a lot of confidence from that. And those are the types of performances that burnish an international player.
Mm.
So Southgate, if Maguire is fit, and unquestionably is, all things being equal, Southgate's first choice, Southgate's now got a big decision to make because he could crush Mings.
But surely the obvious thing to do is to just put him on for, you know, a few minutes.
But they don't like
end.
Doing that with centre back.
I think they don't like doing that. Southgate's quite good at managing that stuff, though, isn't he? So
he,
you know, if that is the thinking, every player involved will be aware of it. So
I also think that, and I know we'll have time later in the week to talk about this. Or tomorrow, sorry, ahead of the game.
Mm.
I think he'll make quite a few changes for the Scotland game.
Yeah,
I
think he'll rotate a lot.
As Vish says, we're not even fussed about winning it.
Yeah,
those games.
I am fussed about winning it, actually. And I've got Scottish blood, and so is Jim.
Actually, yeah, exactly. It just goes to show how different people in different rooms. I think I was getting on the Vish train last time I was in here. But anyway.
Which train are you on now?
I'm on the train.
The Mason train. The Mason Mount train.
I think it's going to be a draw. I feel like it might be a draw.
Can I say, I'm not on the show tomorrow, so I'm not going to get a proper chance to preview it in the morning.
Say it.
If England don't shoot from the kickoff, it is a waste of the greatest dig in the history of football.
In 800 years of history. An absolute nadir of relations. after the independence vote and everything.
Can you imagine it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really hope that happens.
You're going to get pelters from Scottish fans listening again.
Sorry, we're not going to be able to do a Scottish easy, are we, really?
I would like to make it very clear that I have a healthy amount of respect for Scotland.
Yes, me too, we all do. It's we absolutely do.
But I want England to win.
We don't have any views. We're not on either side of the old firm, that's for sure. We're definitely looking forward to that one. We're looking forward to all these other games as well. Today, it's a three-gamer. Damn right. Denmark, of course, back in action after those horrible scenes on Sunday. So best of luck to them. Hope they're all doing really as well as they can be. That's it from us.
Yeah.
We're out of here.
We are.
Yeah, that's what it says here. Yeah.
So on tomorrow's show, it's Jules, Pete, Luke, you're back here.
First time I've seen Jules and Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, this tournament. And I think because For those who are listening and thinking, why is it bloody Luke again?
Yeah.
I think Andy's
sorry,
like,
sorry, I wasn't agreeing.
Andy, you like nod along. Yeah, yeah, go on. What is it? Andy's doing stuff in Budapest at the moment and Vish is doing his thing. Yeah. They'll be back later in the tournament, but you've got me and Pete and Jules tomorrow.
And what a lucky bunch of listeners you are. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, sponsored by Betway.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Okay, very friends, good. We're ready, we're rolling, we're
it's
rocking.
Fucking raw. Kate, do you know who Gordon Ramsay is?
Yeah, I know who he is. He says, you're a sandwich of shit or whatever.
Brilliant impression.
Wow.
So good.
Wow.
Wow.
Kill.
Hello, darling. Gordon. That's what he says. Let's go. Let's do it. You are a sandwich of shit.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.